Well, good morning. And Happy New Year. Yes. Can you believe it's 2005? How many of you thought you would ever see 2005? Yes. I wasn't sure I was. Of course, there was a time when I thought 30 was old. Now 30 is just a baby. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's season. Just the time you're able to get a few days off here and there and spend time with friends and family and celebrating the birth of our Lord and the coming New Year. We have a few things that are going to be going on here. I am now starting my February 1st, I start my 7th year here. So that's like, wow. I'm like, you know, and hopefully we will make it to the 8th year. But as Butch was saying, we have be in prayer for the church, for direction for the Lord, what we're going to be doing. I'll be presenting some of that as we talk this month in our sermons. Now, some of you might be scared. You look at the sermon title and you see Four Facets of Stewardship, Part 1. There will be four facets that I share. It's not that there's only four facets. There are many more. And I will be speaking on stewardship all month. But don't think that I'm going to be talking about your pocketbooks all month. That's a very small part of stewardship. It is indeed important and will be touched on. But trust me, we are not going to be talking about money for the whole month. In fact, very little of it will be actually spent there. Quick announcement. That's not in your bulletin. When you go to the snack table today, how many of you will go to the snack table after church? Raise your hand if you will go to the snack table after church. Alice, raise your hand. We know you will. Okay. On the snack table, you're going to find a little form that looks like this. And it says, Directory Update 2005. Now, if you've been at this church as long as Jeannie has, still fill one out. If you have been here less time than she has, fill one out. In other words, fill one out. We want you. Each sheet is enough for a couple families, or if you just want to do just yours and turn it in, you can turn it either to myself or to Susan Gerdeman, as Sue is going to be updating our directory for us. She's already started that process. And we want to make sure we have the current and correct information for everybody. So who do you want on here? One of the things it's going to ask you on here, name of everyone in your household. Now, if Donna wants to write out a separate one for, you know, for Jason and Chris, because they're actually not in our household anymore. They have their own homes. It's provided courtesy of the government. But and we can still include them and put their stuff down here. That's certainly okay. You can do that. They don't have to actually live in your house. If there's somebody who you want to have included for like birthdays or anniversaries or that information, put that on here. Somebody who you want us to have on our birthday list, somebody who you want to have on our anniversary list. Put your own information on there. Also on here is a box for checking about whether you'd like to participate in the prayer chain, whether or not you'd prefer to get a phone call for the prayer chain, or whether or not you'd rather get an email. Okay? Fill out the form. Put all the information on there. We want everyone to fill one out so we can double check and make sure we have the correct information for everybody. Okay, well, like I went to call Ruth Johnson the other day. I can't I couldn't call Ruth Johnson because I couldn't find the current phone number for her. I've got old phone numbers. Just, I know I've got one for her around somewhere, but it's not in, we don't have a current directory with her. And I didn't write it in my, I put it on a scrap of paper and it was on my desk. So, it's gone forever. No. Okay, so that's enough on the commercials. Fill one out. We'll have them out for the next 3 weeks. Because we want everybody to fill one out, and we will have new phone directories to give out to everybody at the end of January, the end of this month, the last Sunday of the month. We'll hand them out to everybody. Okay. If you want to turn in your Bibles or just look up on the screen, we're going to do 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was trying to figure out how I could shorten this up just a little bit, but I wanted everything that was there a little bit one way or another, so we're going to read the entire chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Maybe. There we go. Okay. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What then, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each of us his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I had laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? Okay, now I lost my speech. There we are. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us word to meditate upon, to study, to learn from, to give us the directions of how to walk this earth. But Lord, we need assistance even in that understanding. So we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures to us, to give us that wisdom. The wisdom of the world is foolishness in reality, Lord. And the foolishness of God is indeed true wisdom, but that is only seen when we have the Holy Spirit showing us the truth. So, Lord, we come before you now asking for your divine intervention at this time, that you would guide and direct us as we look at these words. Lord, that you would touch me as I preach, that I would speak words that are encouraging to each person here, that these people need to hear, so that they can be better stewards of that which you have put in their hands. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless this time, that you would bless my words, that indeed they would be yours. And might each person who is here be blessed this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The facet of stewardship I want to look at today is that of the corporate body, the church corporate. Okay, we're not talking about the Articles of Incorporation. We're not talking about the Constitution and bylaws. Though those are things which are aspects of it. The true church corporate is not this building, though it is something which the church corporate has. The corporate church is us. It's the people. See, we individually are the church. And we as a body, the group, are the church. Hopefully that's not confusing. But both are true. We're going to look today at this passage from the aspect of stewardship and of the job of the body of Christ, us as a group. And in that part aspect, us individually as part of that group. Now, Paul is talking here. There's been some difficulty. There's some people saying, I follow this guy, I do that. Say, hold it. The one who's in charge is Jesus. And that should be our focus, is that Jesus is the one in charge. It wasn't me. It wasn't Apollos. These are, you know, Paul was talking about. So it was Jesus. It was our Father in heaven. It was God. He's the one who causes things to grow. He's the one who's put everything that we have in our hands. Now, that's the first thing to remember in stewardship, is that everything that we have, first and foremost, it's God's. He has given it to us for us to care for. And we're told that he who has much, much will be asked of him. When we're given responsibility over a lot, well, we have a lot of responsibility. And how we fulfill that responsibility is important. The Lord has assigned to each his task. We each have a task. Each individually have a task within the church corporate, the body. We are told that we are the building, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are the workers, and we are the object of the work. We're both. We're the ones that are supposed to do the work, and we are the object of the work. It's not my job to do the work of all of you. I never could. Neither is it your job to do mine. But it is each of us, a task has been set. God has gifted each of us individually. Some of us have different gifting than others. Butch and George, these are people who get up here and will sing special numbers. I will occasionally lead when we have no other choice. Some of us can get up here and lead worship well, and some of us can't. Some of us can get on the computer and do some work. Others of us say, I could never do that. Some of us can invite somebody over to their house and serve them a warm meal and have a good time of fellowship. Others say, having people over, I can't do that. We're all different. We each have different tasks. And we're supposed to do that. The tasks that we've been assigned for, so we've been gifted for that. But remember that by the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I have laid a foundation, and that foundation is Christ. And that each of the things that we build upon, as we do things within the church, we either build the church up or we tear the church down. Are we a good worker or a poor worker? There's a couple types of poor workers. Any of you ever been to work with the person who doesn't seem to do any work? I mean, they can look busy, they can be talking up a storm, but they never seem to get anything done. In fact, they usually seem to be pushing the work off onto other people. But they themselves... It's not that they have a supervisory role. No, they have their own job, which they are responsible for. But instead of them doing the task, somehow or other, they never quite seem to get to it, but somebody else gets it done for them. You've worked with those kind of people. The ones who are, you know, it's time for break. Oh. That's not a good worker. Some of us are like that in the church. We've each been given tasks. We're responsible for it. But, you know, somebody else will do it. And it kind of gets shuffled off to somebody else. Some of us are the poor worker who just seems to have it out for the boss. He's stealing. He's, you know, maybe taking money out of the till. A lot of people would say, oh no, I would never steal. I would never take money out of the till. No, they won't take money out of the till. But you know that box of pens in the storeroom? Well, that found its way home. The box of staples, you know, a couple notepads, maybe a few stamps. You know, those are all things that can come from the office, you know. You know, stealing is stealing. If you take something that has that you haven't been given permission to take, and that's a worker that instead of building the business or building, is tearing down. Construction workers, they buy. The foreman orders the building material for a building, and on some sites, in some job locations, they have to order extra. Because they figure in how much is going to be stolen by the workers. People, well, they're going to take an extra sheet here. You know, I need a sheet of plywood. I need a extra package of shingles. And they, you know, somebody puts it in a little bit. Some places it's that bad. Poor workers. Well, how do we do that in the church? Well, we steal from God when we don't tithe, when we don't do those things that we were told to do. You know, when I say told to do, I'm not saying that I told you to do it or the board told you to do it or something. I'm saying God gave you the burden or you stood up and said, I'll be responsible for this, whatever, and then you don't. Or you say, well, you know, the church... You know, I'll just, you know, take a package of copy paper from the church, and that's not a big deal, you know. It's my church. I give money. I don't think we have that type of thing. We really don't have that kind of an issue here, but it does happen. Sometimes, you know, people can be guilty of borrowing things from the church without permission. I don't know, I should get permission from somebody, shouldn't I, before I take things? Use them, take them home, use them for my personal use, and bring them back like that. Well, I was going to have a party, so I... even I should be making sure that it's okay checking with somebody else and make sure they bring it back. But that's things, that's stuff. We, as Christians, we tear down the church, we steal from the church when we steal from its reputation. Maybe everybody at work knows that I'm a Christian, but I swear like a sailor. Or, you know, they see me being just as light-fingered as everybody else on the job. That's stealing. Stealing God's reputation, stealing the reputation of the church. That's being a poor worker. So we're supposed to be good workers. How do we do that? Well, by being the opposite. By being the person who gets their job done on time. Who, if they need to stay a few extra minutes after work, does so and doesn't necessarily ask for extra compensation for having done so. Not that your worker isn't due compensation. I'm not saying be abused by your employer. But be a blessing to your employer. You want to know why they're trying so hard to keep Phyllis on at this place, even though they've removed her position a couple of times or whatnot? She's a blessing where she works. They say, we want this kind of person. They're trying to find a way to keep her. You know, even though there's an issue which says that she should be long gone, not of her doing, she's got people there who are trying to keep her here. That's a testimony to the church. It builds the church because she's working at the job. We build the church corporate. We, those of us who are here, those who claim Northbrook as their home church, whether they're a member or not, this is where you come to worship on a regular basis. We are the corporate church Northbrook. I mean, we are part of the corporate church whole, which is everybody who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we have this reputation that we have to take care of, and we have to take care of this body. We are responsible for this body. That means each other. We need to keep it healthy. We need to care for it. We need to build upon it with good materials. Not with hay and straw and stubble, but with stone and with gems and gold. You know, these are the things that are supposed to be building with. Those things which are long-lasting and eternal. How do we do that with each other? Prayer. We pray for each other when we have need. Butch and Rachel are talking about they've just felt the prayers. I have seen the effect of the prayers on Butch and Rachel from a distance. I know that he's just not talking out of his hat to be sound more spiritual. I feel the prayers. You know. No, they have had an effect. His continence, Rachel's continence, things that have been with the difficulties that they're going on, have shown that. How else can we build our church? Well, we care for each other, and we need to care for this group as a whole. I mean, one of the things that we need to do is grow. We need to grow two ways. One, spiritually. Two, numerically. Those are the ways that we need to grow. Because something that's healthy grows. I am very healthy. Well, come on. As we grow spiritually, we become more in tune with God's will, God's Word. Living God's Word, following God's Word becomes a natural part of our life. So we grow numerically. The workload get spread out among more hands. One of the issues that we do have right now is our congregation honestly is a little unhealthy in that area. We don't have enough people to really do all the work that needs to be done here long term. We have some people that could really use a rest. But we don't have another horse to hitch up to the team to give them a rest. So we just have to say, take five, breathe deep, have another glass of water, and then we'll move on. But how are we going to grow? Pastor, how are we going to grow? Isn't it your job to grow the church? No. It's not my job to grow the church. It's our job to grow the church. It's your job as much as it's my job. There isn't one of us who is exempt from caring for this body. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? God's Spirit lives in you and in us as a group, corporately. What is the command that we've been given? To love one another, yes. And also to take the love of God to those who are outside of it right now. Who are not outside of His love so much as outside of the fellowship with Him and His love. That is, take the good news to those who don't have it. I have a challenge that I'm going to be bringing up every month, at least once, if not twice, over the course of this next year. And that is that each person here bring one new person to church. Now, how many of you figure that in the course of the next 360 plus days, figure you can't bump into one new person? Liar. You will bump into new people. And you'll find that some of these people you have relationship with even before you knew it. We were having this discussion at my sister-in-law's. And what was that movie? 6 Degrees of Separation or whatever? Where, you know, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows Kevin Bacon or something. It's amazing how interconnected the world really is and how small it truly is. Now, what I'm asking is that we each invite somebody to church and that we bring them. It's not just enough to have invited them, but you need to bring them. Well, how do I invite them? You know, I invite them, but they don't come. Well, how do you get anybody to do something that you really think is important or want? You keep at it until they do it. Now, you say, well, that's hard for me. Well, yeah. So? Anybody here think that everything's supposed to be easy? Eva, stop that. No. No. It's not supposed to be easy. But what we'll find is that it's not hard if you really believe it and if you think it's important. If you are passionate in your belief that this person is your friend and that they don't know Jesus, and because they don't know Jesus, their future means hell. That's what's going to happen to them if they die without Christ. How many of you know when your friend is going to die? You don't know. Now it becomes a topic of a little bit more important. If I knew that somebody's going to die in 40 or 50 years, I got lots of time to get to talk to them, whatnot. But if I go, you know, this person, something could happen to them at any moment. They could trip down the stairs. They could have a brain aneurysm. Big hailstone come out of the sky. You know, who knows? A tsunami. Who would have guessed? How many of us would have raised our hands and said, you know, I'm just waiting for that 9.0 earthquake to happen out in the Pacific Ocean, and there's just going to be hundreds of thousands of people who die. Last number I read was there are 100,000 dead in Sri Lanka. That's one country out of the 11 that were hit. We had people from all around the world who were vacationing at a lot of resorts around this Pacific Rim. People who were out on jet skis, and one minute everything's great, and the next minute they're swallowed by a tsunami, wiped out by a huge tidal wave. That's what a tsunami is. For those of you who didn't know that, it's a tidal wave which is caused by an earthquake in the Pacific Ocean. That's a tsunami. And just like it's a typhoon in the Pacific and it's a hurricane in the Atlantic. Why they have different names for it, I don't know, but that's the way it is. So, we don't know when somebody's going to die. So, the question is, do you really care for them? Now, here's the interesting thing. By taking care of them, you are taking care of yourself. Because if you lead somebody to Christ, if they come and become part of the body corporate, you have increased yourself. You have helped yourself because you have added one more worker to the task. You ever seen where they had concerts, people body surfing or whatever they call it across the... Now, you'll have some 180, 200-pound person just being passed around through the crowd. How do they do that? Because they got a lot of hands up touching this guy, moving around. If it was just one person trying to hold him and catch him, like, I got you. It'd be one of those deals. Well, the deal is that when we help bring somebody to Christ, it's actually God who does the work. We help ourselves, our church. We help the church. And if they come and become part of this fellowship, we help our church. So from a selfless perspective, it's what we need to do. And from a selfish perspective, it's what we need to do. We each are tasked with doing what it is the Lord has, the task that He has given us. And we're going to be tested on it. What work we do will be tested, and if it's not any good, well, it gets burned up. And while our salvation isn't dependent upon it, as we read this passage, it tells us that, but we still end up in heaven, but just smelling of smoke this time, without any riches to lay before the Lord. What riches are we talking about? People who we have built into. People whom we have loved for Christ. Every time we do good workmanship. Every time we do good workmanship as Christians, we build into the kingdom. Every time we do shoddy workmanship, we take away. Are we going to be good workers for the kingdom? It's part of good stewardship. This is the task that the Lord has given us. You say, our church needs help. People, help us here. Take up your task and do it. And if you do your task, there'll be more people here to do the task. And many hands make the work light. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm sorry. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Now, we should be speaking Southern right here, as it should be. Let me read this again. Don't you know you all, that you all yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you all? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you all are that temple. Speaking of the body corporate, not talking just to an individual, but you all, we all, are the temple. And if we are poor workers seeking to destroy the temple, or somebody comes to attack God's temple, God will destroy him. That, people, is a scary prospect. Because what that brings to me is that if we are indeed a poor worker, are we really a worker? If we just make a mistake, honest mistakes, that's not an issue. But if we don't do the job that we've been employed to do, if we just don't show up and do what it was, were we ever really employed? It's a question to ask. But he does tell us that those who destroy the temple will be destroyed themselves. He says, do not deceive yourselves. If anyone of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. I figure I'm on the road. I'm on the good road to being a fool, so I figure I should be wise soon. But we need to become a fool for Christ. Where it doesn't matter. God said do it. Hey, I'm going to do it. And sometimes that foolishness is exactly what we need to do. And that stewardship corporately, sometimes God is going to tell the church to do something that's impossible. Like, take the gospel to the entire of creation. It's getting done, though. It's getting done. Let me close with one final thought on the body corporate. You are God's temple. The Holy Spirit lives within you, individually and as a group. you are holy. Good stewardship demands that you treat it as such. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your love and we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you've shown us in your word how you live within us and how you empower us to do the work which you have assigned for us to do. Now, Lord, give each of us individually and give us corporately the motivation to do your will for this body here, to be good stewards, to live lives which reflect back our holy nature and your love. Lord, we pray for your forgiveness when we fall short. And Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the God of the second and third and fourth chance, and the 777th chance. So Lord, we come before you now to try again. Help us do better in this next year of being stewards of your church, to do your work in this community, to truly serve our neighbors with Christ's love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to receive communion now. We're going to do it just a little bit different this morning. And let me make one other announcement before we close here with communion. I have the nursing home service at 1:30. I'm sorry, at 1 o'clock over at Prairie Lodge.